Shalom, I am Alan.
And I am Leontine. Alan and I are professional tour guides, friends, and immigrants to Israel. In this podcast, we talk about everything Israel and our life here.
I moved to Israel, fulfilling a lifelong dream after 30 years as a trial lawyer in Memphis, Tennessee. And I have a lot to say about my homeland.
And I was born in Holland, then lived and worked as a licensed tour guide in France, and ended my journey living and working in Israel.
Yalla, let's go! Shalom, Leontine.
Hey, Alan.
Hey, Shavua Tov.
A good week to you. I was going to answer in Dutch. Een goede week.
A goede week?
Yeah.
That's like a Vesmir.
I got a little confused because I'm looking at your glasses. You got new glasses.
I did get new glasses.
You look like a kind of like a Dutch guy from the 60s or something.
I do not say anything bad about them. Diane picked them out.
Okay. Very nice glasses.
Uh-huh. Okay. So I'm also sitting here drinking a nice cup of Joe coffee. Today I had to make it myself. Usually we're at the Brown Villa Brown and they're bringing us coffee.
Yeah.
You know, I never drank coffee.
You did? Ah,
never.
True. You didn't drink coffee when I met you.
Never.
True. Yes.
My whole life, and then 5 years ago, I started drinking coffee. And
you became adults.
I haven't. That's right. I finally grew up.
Yeah.
How was your week?
So my week was good, but I had a traumatizing experience. I'm not going to mention the hotel, but I had clients who were staying in a hotel. And when I arrived, I went to the concierge. It is a nice hotel. I went to the concierge and I said, hi, I'm coming. I'm here. I'm the guide of this and this person. And he said to me, I know you are with this lady for 4 mornings. So I said, yes. And I said, joking, like you're from the FBI or something, or the KGB. And he said, no, no, I talked to her, I know. So, okay. So anyway, I went to sit and wait for my client to arrive. She arrived. We start a very, very, very nice lady with her son. We started off doing the tours. And after a few hours, she said to me, you know, by the way, when I arrived in the hotel, the concierge asked me if I had the tour set up, and I said, yes, I have a guide. And he said, okay, so cancel her, I have a better one. So my sweet client, she said, no, I'm not canceling. And so he told her, what are you doing with this guide? And so she said, I have 4 mornings with her. And he said, oh, why do you need 4 mornings? One day is enough, cancel the guide. And my good client, she stood on her grounds and she said, no way, I'm going to cancel Leontine. But she told me that from that time on, she was kind of avoiding the guy in the hotel because he was like really...
I was like, this is the concierge?
Of the hotel who told her to cancel the guide that she had found herself, to take a guide that he had in mind. So it was a...
Did she say something to the management?
I mean, that's... No. I decided not to. I'm still debating what I'm going to do because, you know, it doesn't mean if he's doing something mean and nasty that I should do the same. Treat your neighbor like you want to be treated. Is
yes.
that something like
Rabbi
that?
Rabbi Hillel, yes.
Right. So I'm still debating. It's very easy to complain, but then, you know... And my client, she, you know, she said, no, I'm not canceling Leontine. So in the end, he tried, but it didn't work. And thank God I don't have very often people in this very beautiful hotel, but not very often. So it's okay. So I don't think I'll be confronted to this kind of situation more than once a year. But that was my trauma of the week. So each time I come in the morning in the hotel, I look at the guy, he looks at me. And we don't speak. I don't say hello to him anymore, that's for sure. Yeah. How was your week?
Ah, good. I'm glad you asked because I can be a little more positive.
I was in my trauma.
My story is a little more uplifting. Last night, you know, yesterday was Shabbat. And Diane and I have a kind of a every week... it's our custom as before the sun sets, you know, in Jerusalem, it could be hot as blazes all day, but towards 5-6 o'clock in the afternoon, it's going to cool down. You know it, you're going to get this like cherry on top of the day, this sweet conclusion with a cool night. And we always, about 5 o'clock, you know, Shabbat ends at about 8 o'clock. So we take a Shabbat afternoon walk with the dogs that you don't care for.
Daisy and Louis.
Daisy and Louis, Louis. You're still thinking France. You're still Paris. Louis the 13th or 14th or whatever his name is.
Yeah, Louis.
Anyway, so we take this walk and it's incredible. I mean, first of all, the weather is always great. And we usually walk up to the first station of Jerusalem and then down the Rakevet, the old train tracks, which today is a bike path and a walking path and a green space. And it's beautiful because when you're out on a Saturday evening, early evening, or late afternoon, you see the beauty of Jerusalem. You see the religious that are walking on Shabbat. You see the secular that are enjoying the first station. You see people coming from the neighborhood of Baca on one side of the Rakevet or from the German colony on the other side. And you see the Arab Muslims or Arab Christians coming from the neighborhood of Beit Safafa or I forget the name of the other village. It's Shurafat, not Shurafat, but Shurafat. It's on the other side of Beit Safafa. Mm-hmm. Anyway, you get this whole mixture of people just out, some with their dogs, some on their bikes, some with their baby strollers. And it's just a beautiful scene, a Jerusalem scene on Shabbat afternoon on the Rakevet. So that's one of my favorite parts of the week as we go from Shabbat and we begin the week today with our podcast episode.
True.
So, Leontine, the topic of this week is you don't look Jewish.
Ah.
Yes. So what does that mean? Although it sounds kind of like politically incorrect, I'm not talking about political correctness or not. I'm talking about the statement that all my life I received as a, taller, strawberry blonde, blue-eyed guy with a medium-sized nose, people would always say, you don't look Jewish. Mm. Once I moved to Israel, I realized how not politically incorrect, but how just misplaced that statement is. Because when you're here, you see a melting pot of Jewish people that return from the four corners of the earth back to Israel. And we see, you know, people that are Jewish of all colors and all sizes and shapes and big noses, short noses, flat noses. So the question is, what does that mean? You don't look Jewish. You know, even when I'm guiding, a lot of times I'm guiding non-Jewish visitors to Israel. And then when they find out my story that I'm Jewish, I came from Memphis, Tennessee, I'm practiced law, and now I'm a tour guide in Israel, they say, well, wow, you don't look Jewish. Have you ever heard that? Because you also kind of have a Dutch kind of funky look.
Right. I think for me, I know the people don't mean it, but for me it sounds anti-Semitic, unfortunately. You know that I'm a tour guide. So I'm a guide in Yad Vashem, so I studied the Shoah and the history behind anti-Semitism a lot in order to be able to guide in Yad Vashem. And basically, it comes from a stereotype that was given to Jews that started in the Middle Ages and that came to a very high point in the 19th century already. In early 20th century, where Jews were shown with big nose and big lips and kind of eyes coming almost popping out of their skull and so on, a kind of a stereotype. Because in fact, in Holland they will say that I look Jewish because I have not anymore now. My hair is gray, but my hair was dark brown eyes. I'm not that tall. Especially for Holland, I'm very very little because you know in Holland people are huge. But I agree with you that I look more Dutch than Jewish, if you want to say so. I think every Jew looks like the people in the country where he or she is from.
So that's yes. really the question. When somebody yes. says, you don't look Jewish, my response is, well, what does a Jew look like?
Exactly.
You know, tell me. Now, I don't get into that discussion, but I then kind of will educate.
Yeah.
The education is that Jewish people, Semitic people, the Israelite nation that came out of Egypt and entered into the land of Israel, we were expelled twice from the land of Israel. The first expulsion was in the 8th century BCE, the Assyrians. And they had a way of expelling people to all corners of their empire. So the first expulsion, the Jews were sent to the four corners of the earth, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were expelled again in 586 by the Babylonians, the complete expulsion. And the Jews also went to the four corners of the earth. And of course, we could go on and on with the expulsions and Jews, you know, leaving the land of Israel and going to the lands of the world. Then the Spanish Inquisition, they'll expel the Jews again, and the Jews will spread out all over the globe. So when you come to Israel, it's quite fascinating to see that these Jews that were expelled to the four corners of the earth, many of them, like you and me, returning to the land of Israel, that are sometimes Chinese, sometimes Japanese, Ethiopian, black Jews, sometimes Arab Jews, Jews that came from the Arabian Peninsula, that came from North Africa. And so when you're in Israel, it's almost like, do you remember we talked about Jewish food versus Israeli food?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because yes. Everybody has this perception of what mm-hmm. a Jew looks like based upon what Jews look like where they lived. Not that there are Jews coming from all over the world into one place like Israel. And when so you and I go into Machane Yehuda, to the Shuk, or wherever it is that we go, we see people that look very different, as you say, from different parts of the world. We intermarried, we intermingled with other people. And so you don't look Jewish. It has a completely, you know, to me, it's almost shocking now, because I think, well, what does a Jew look like?
Exactly, exactly. I remember going to Stockholm, Sweden, and we went to the synagogue there, and the Jews there looked like Swedes. And I also remember when I moved from Holland to Paris, for the first time in my life, I met Jews that were born in Morocco, Tunisia, and Algeria. These were three North African countries that had been colonized by France. When these countries became independent, many of the Jews moved to France. And when I met these Jews for the very first time in my life, I couldn't believe these were Jews, because they looked like Arabs to me. So, and I was like, they are Jews like me? You know, I was like amazed. So no, there is no look, but it also shows that me myself, I have a little bit of anti-Semitism inside me, because I had a particular idea of what a Jew looked like, which is like a Jew in Holland, I guess. And then discovering other kinds of Jews was kind of shocking to me. So that is why when somebody asks me, how come you don't look Jewish? I kind of understand the question. I don't blame the people. I'm not upset with them. And I know that, you know, anti-Semitism, unfortunately, is something that is so embedded in the minds of people that it's almost genetic, you know, something that has been passed on from generation to generation. It's very difficult to get rid of this, even in myself, I guess, because we are a product also of the world that we come from, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, in Memphis, or if you're in New York City, you know, in many of these, although you do have Syrian populations, you do have other people, but generally we mostly were exposed to, in my community, to people that looked Ashkenazic. They came from Poland or Russia, Belarusia, and they looked like the people of that area. So that's what you get used to seeing, almost like eating corned beef sandwiches, right? Or matzo ball soup, instead of eating something else. So I don't blame anybody either for saying it, but yes, it can lead to stereotyping, but somehow we get comfortable with what we know. The difference is that a Jew can be Iranian, can be Syrian, can be American, can be Japanese, Chinese, and can be have lived in these places for generations, which means they might look native.
True.
To those
now,
lands.
I have to say that there is a specific look about certain Israeli Jews. I don't know. Sometimes you see Israeli Jews, you think, wow, this person cannot be more typical Israeli Jew. It's very difficult to explain what they look like. But don't you have this feeling that sometimes you meet Israeli Jews and you think, okay, this person, there is 100% Israeli Jew.
I could say that about an Israeli Jew and Arab Muslim, Arab Christian, because I look at the way they dress.
And the haircut.
I look at the way they get their haircut. You know, you can tell the barber. And by the way, the Arab Muslims and the Arab or Jews, we use different barbers.
Yes.
Okay, you can tell by a haircut.
Yeah.
Definitely tell, same thing with, look, when we're guiding, you can spot Americans a mile away. Okay, they're wearing Nike tennis shoes and goofy track suits, or you can tell by the way people dress and the way they get their hair cut where they're coming from.
Mm-hmm, true.
So yes, I agree with you. In Israel, you can see an Israeli.
There's a specific look.
Yeah, there is a look.
Yeah.
But it's mostly not the size of their nose or the color of their skin, although many of them are darker. Over 50% of us came from Arab countries. Okay, in Israel. So we do kind of start to look similar.
True, that's true.
All right, so the question this week comes from Jill of Washington State in the United States. Not Washington, D.C. She actually lives in Washington State in Seattle. And she wants to know, how much money do Israelis earn?
Ooh.
Okay, now it's funny because when I read the question, when I saw the question from Jill, I was thinking, okay, that's an interesting question. I'm assuming she's talking about the median average income of Israelis, because Americans aren't so bold to ask you what you make. But in Israel, it's
not a problem.
Oh, they're going to walk right up to you and say, hey, how much money do you make?
Yeah.
Or they're going to ask you, how much did you pay for your house?
Yeah.
Now, in Memphis, in America, you would never ask. That's a very personal, private question.
Okay. In Holland, you ask people also. Very direct, yes.
So do you have an answer for Jill?
The average, Jill, I looked it up on internet because I have no idea. So apparently in 2021, the average was 11,349 shekels.
You're kidding me.
That's the average.
The average?
Yeah.
Is 11,000?
And in Tel Aviv, it was 13,000.
13?
In Tel Aviv, yes.
Now, oh, you're talking about monthly?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm thinking, whoa, you scared me.
Oh,
my God, you can't even...
No, per month. No, of course. Now I do buy it per month. Per year, for me, it's too complicated to... I have to
okay,
do it
so what? Month. So what did you say per month?
11,349 shekels per month. This was in November 2021. And in Tel Aviv, it was... This is for Israel. In Tel Aviv, it was 13,000.
So that's like... And for my American... folks, that's like it's about $3,000, a little over $3,000 a month.
Yeah, it's about the same in euros now.
And then for Tel Aviv, it's like $4,000
a
month.
Life is much more expensive in Tel Aviv. And the minimum wage is $5,400. And of course, all the left-wing parties want to raise the minimum wage, but that is the official minimum wage. $5,400.
I'm astounded that the young people here, and now that you give me the numbers that I really haven't thought about, but I knew the numbers would come in low. And if you think that's high for our listeners, first of all, our cost of living here is very high.
Very high.
If you go to a restaurant, just an average restaurant, the prices are going to be the same as the United States, but we make a fraction. Just look at, I don't know what the average income is, but I assume that the numbers you just gave me are a lot less than Americans earn or people earn in perhaps in Europe. But our prices are very high. Inflation is high. Housing. So you said 11,300 shekels a month. Mm. That's the cost of an apartment per month.
Right. But then you have here... Here in Israel, most of the women also work. And remember that we have, I think, about 20% of ultra-Orthodox, where a lot of them don't work or very little. So they have very, very, very low income. So they bring down the average.
Yeah.
Also,
well, most of the, I don't know about you, but a lot of the people that I know, both the woman and the man in the house will work.
Yeah.
And sometimes two or three jobs. Okay.
Yeah.
Each.
Yeah.
To make ends meet, but, you know, Tel Aviv, I think was voted as one of the happiest cities in the world. That top 10 happiest places to live in the world.
Yeah.
So,
and most expensive.
Right. Now, how does that? How does that equate?
I guess if you live in by the beach and with the weather and all the young and beautiful people walking around, then there you are. Aren't you happy? When I'm walking through Tel Aviv, I'm hot because I'm always hot in Tel Aviv, but I'm also happy. Doesn't Tel Aviv make you happy?
Of course. Who,
yes.
who can't
right.
be happy by the beach?
Exactly.
You know, they say, how do you make $1 million in Israel? Is to move here with 10 million. You know, how do you make a fortune in Israel? Move here with a fortune.
Thank you for listening to Yalla Israel. As always, send your questions by email at yallaisraelpodcast@gmail.com or on Instagram at Yalla Israel Podcast. This podcast was made possible with the help of Leia Kramer, our editor, Elliot Musses, our musician, and Shai Aloni, our cover art designer.